All right, folks, welcome back to Lace Mountain Swire podcast here, talking Boise State, Oklahoma State, one of our mini episodes where we chat with some those who are more familiar with the opponents than I normally am. And it's a good thing, so we get some good knowledge. We have Scott Wright joining us from the Oklahoma. Check him out at Scott Wright OK on Twitter. So first off, man, thanks for hopping on to talk some pretty big game this week.
Absolutely, man. Excited about it around here, that's for sure.
It should be. I saw the stripe out going on. Is it really going to be black and white for what Gundy pulled out the other day?
It will actually be orange and white, but that was at least a creative way to. But you don't expect anything less from Mike Gundy, especially if you've been covering him for a while.
Of course,
you know there's something interesting going to be coming. So
he always has something going on. So the point of this, obviously, just to know who the Cowboys are and everything. So. They've played, it's just two games, it's playing not the best competition for non-conference play, so give us a quick overview, like who are they with two games in, even though they've kind of won pretty easily South Alabama and their FCS foe?
You know, we've seen some offensive production at a pretty high level. The numbers have been good. The coaches haven't necessarily been pleased with everything. There've been some glaring errors that have stuck out to them. Some throws that Taylor Cornelius, their new starter at quarterback, a fifth year senior, former walk on, getting his first shot at this job. So he's had some early season jitters that they're hoping are going away now. The running backs had a little bit of trouble getting going. Really, it was more the offensive line. Really kind of struggled with South Alabama, which was a little bit of a surprise. And they had trouble running the ball, but South Alabama was really loading the box. So it was a little bit of a numbers game there. So, even though they've been putting up some crazy numbers offensively, as Oklahoma State offenses typically do, they really haven't been all that thrilled with the way things have gone through two games against some lesser opponents. So, still some question marks there. A lot more question marks on the defensive side, where we really haven't seen this new defense of Jim Knowles get tested yet. They've done what they're supposed to do against Missouri State and South Alabama, but we don't know what they're going to do when an offensive line comes up and hits them in the mouth, or different things that a physical and experienced team like Boise can do. So that's the big question, really, in my mind, going into this ball game is. What does the Oklahoma State defense look like? How do they react if they get beat, pretty badly on some plays by Brett Rippon or whoever it might be, with all the weapons that he's got around him? So those are the big questions that Oklahoma State brings into this game.
All right. So speaking of that, we know Oklahoma State it's always points, and this game could be a shootout because that's what Boise. Look, they put up 60 plus on UConn, but again, it's UConn. They're not anything special. We both know that. Is this a game where what the Big 12 typically does, it's a lot of points, that this is more familiarity, even though it's a different, obviously not a Big 12 team, because they're used to playing lots of points for Oklahoma, TCU, teams that score a lot of points. It's something that's like, okay, we've kind of been there. We expect to kind of know how the game will turn out, but they know it's going to be like maybe 60, 70, 80 combined points in this one.
Yeah, this is not a team that gets overwhelmed by a shootout. Absolutely not. So, if it's going that way, they're going to be in their comfort zone to an extent. Obviously the defense of Jim Knowles, they're not going to be too excited with that. But this isn't a team that if they give up 40. That is terrified of getting blown out, but that said, they still have those questions that I pointed to. They've still got an inexperienced quarterback who hasn't had to face a second half deficit. Say they get down by 10 in the third quarter, they don't know how he's going to react in those situations, things like that. So. They are completely comfortable with this being a shootout, like a lot of people expect. I think Boise State might be a little bit more physical than a lot of defenses in the Big 12. So that's gonna be something a little bit different. There are a couple of places like TCU and Kansas State that like to get physical on the defensive side of the ball, but more than that, it's mostly teams that are focused on trying to get lots of speed on the field. So I think that's going to be a big test. for this Oklahoma State offensive line in particular, as I mentioned, the struggles they had with South Alabama. So, that'll be an interesting question, but I think Oklahoma State is definitely prepared for a shootout.
Yeah, you score 40, they'll put up 45 or 50 maybe, see how it goes to get the wins.
Right.
So speaking of quarterback, like with the Taylor Cornelius, is there any chance that you say he's a new starter? He's been there for a while. I know we're familiar with Drew Brown, who made his way out there from Hawaii, but he's probably not going to play or hasn't played at all yet this year. Is there any sense of moving to a – not saying it'll happen, but you say he struggled a couple picks so far this year, offensive line not doing great, not protecting him at some point. Is he the guy for sure? Would Gundy maybe – oh, let's – like I said, maybe they're down 10. Maybe there's – something's not going as planned. They could switch to the second quarterback there. Or are they going to strictly – he's our guy. We're going to ride through it no matter what happens.
That remains a really big question around here. That's something that we really don't know, because, you know, the ideal situation for Mike Gundy with Drew Brown, even though he is a grad transfer, he still has a redshirt year available. And if they could manage to play him in four games or less and bring him back next year, that would be their ideal scenario, because he right now he is their second best quarterback. That seems pretty clear based on the conversations that we've had with everyone. But like you said, he hasn't been in a game yet. Obviously, he's got plenty of game experience from Hawaii. He started 22 games out there, played in 25 overall. So he's not like a true freshman, but he hasn't been out on the field in this Oklahoma State offense yet. So it's yet to be seen. He only arrived in Stillwater in late July, so he didn't even have the benefit of the summer to try to get familiar with some of the terminology and things like that that they can do in 7-on-7 team led workouts. So it's yet to be seen what direction Mike Gundy will go if things aren't going the way that he expects for Taylor Cornelius. That said, he has said. They need to be patient with Cornelius. They've got to give him some time to find his footing, to find his comfort zone on the field. And after Missouri State, where he missed some really wide open throws, the type of throws that you just don't see Oklahoma State quarterbacks missing. He really minimized his errors against South Alabama. He had one interception that the coaches described as unforgivable. First and goal, throwing into double coverage in the end zone when you could have easily thrown it away or scrambled and got a couple of yards. So other than that, he really played a lot better in his second game. Now if he gets out there under the bright lights and in a big game between two top 25 teams and really starts to panic and doesn't look comfortable, it would not surprise me to see Mike Gundy go to the hook and bring in Drew Brown if he feels like he can make an upgrade with a guy who has played a lot more games than Cornelius has.
Yeah, I was curious about that. It's because it's the same thing with Fresno. They brought in Marcus McMahon almost mid-season last year, like before week one. Nothing happened, can't practice, can't really do too much. Knowing everything, it's still pretty limited. So it's not sort of similar, but I know how it is, where they're not hanging around the team the whole summer or spring, where it's like, well, how much do they really know or how much they pick up within that abbreviated time frame? That's always a question. But with the quarterback situation, let's go to the running back really quick with Justice Hill. He's very good last year. He had, 14 touchdowns, 15, almost 1,500 yards. Are the first two games just because they're playing the lesser competition, more people getting the ball, to why he had the one huge run and that's about it? Is it just kind of spreading around, or are they still expect him to be a guy who get 1,500 yards running the ball?
Yeah, by the end of the year, they fully expect him to be right back there at that production level, if not more productive. One of the things, South Alabama, like I said, they really crowded the box, and Oklahoma State was having a lot of success throwing to its outside receivers, and South Alabama just sort of let them do it. So Taylor Cornelius goes and throws for 428 yards, his two outside receivers both go over 130 yards, and that's what was working, so that's what they went with. Mike Gundy wants to, over the course of the year, keep Justice Hill's carries limited. He wants to make sure that he's fresh at the end of the year, and so this week is one of those games, and I'm actually planning to write about this for Saturday's newspaper, that this week is the reason that Justice Hill had 10 carries in the opener, 6 or 7 carries against South Alabama, so that he can go out and get 25 And, you know, through 3 weeks, then he averages 15. But, you know, long term, he wants to be able to save him for moments like this when he really needs them. And because they feel this is one of the best running backs in the country, and he is absolutely their most dangerous player when he's got the ball in his hands. So they're going to do what they can to get him the ball this week. You're going to see 20 plus touches, you know, mostly in the run game, but he'll also line up wide, line up in the slot. You know, catch passes out of the backfield. So they're going to do a lot of different things to get him the ball this week, and I would not be surprised to see him in the 25 to 30 touch range.
Okay, we'll see how it goes, because I know Boise's getting David Moa back in there. He didn't play last week. It's like he's like a rock back there. He's just huge. So that'll be I forget why he didn't play. I don't remember why he played, but he's like 280, 290. Just one of those guys who just kind of, let me just be the nose talk and hopefully push somebody around. So that'll be interesting, right, to see what Hill can do against that line. Let's switch to defense really quick here. We don't need to make this extremely long. I think, maybe you can tell me if I'm wrong or not, or your thoughts on this. I think the edge in this game could be what the Boise defense brings, because I think it's probably a little bit better than Oklahoma State's for what they've done historically in this path so far. And it's only two games. They're a good, pretty good Sun Belt team, but nowhere near Oklahoma State. No, UConn's just garbage, I'll say it. Not very good. What do you see from, like, on Oklahoma State's defense against his Boise offense? Because I think the Boise defense, points will be had, where they'll give up a lot of points this game because Oklahoma State will find a way to get something done. Can the Oklahoma State defense maybe find something the same way to stop Alexander Mattison running the ball, Brett Rippon throwing the ball down the field to the multiple receivers he has? How do you think that matchup could play out from Cowboys defense's Boise offense?
You know, there are two things that really stick out to me about it. Number one, I'm curious just how physical the Oklahoma State front six can be in this 4-2-5 defense that they're running. They're not huge among those six guys with their two linebackers. They're really based on getting speed on the field, and that's what they try to do. They've got some solid defensive tackles and a couple of strong defensive ends, but they have a lot of veterans in that group overall. But Boise is a really physical team, and we haven't seen them against a physical team yet. The next thing is that Oklahoma State is really young in the secondary. They've got two true sophomores starting at two of their three safety spots. They've got a senior who had been playing linebacker the last 2 years and, you know, slimmed down and lost about 10 pounds and is playing a free safety type of role in Kenneth Edison Magruder. You know, and then they've got cornerbacks who are young, but were sort of thrown into the fire last year and really kind of came out of it as much better players than they were at the beginning of the year, in AJ Green and Rodarius Williams. So, they've got some talent back there. They just don't have a ton of experience. This is only going to be their third game in this defense, and there were this secondary is a lot different from what Glenn Spencer ran as a defensive coordinator a year ago. So there was a lot of learning to be done back there. He uses his safeties differently. He uses a lot more press coverage from his cornerbacks, and so that was those were a lot of changes for that group to make. Plus, you factor in that you've got two true sophomores, one of whom only played special teams last year, didn't even really get on the field at safety. And then backing those guys up, you've got two true freshmen. Uh-oh. and some you know, other older but inexperienced guys. So they're really young across the board. You know, in the 10 guys in there two deep in the secondary, there's three true freshmen, a couple of redshirt freshmen, and some other guys that really just haven't played a lot in their careers at Oklahoma State.
Ooh, that could be an interesting matchup to see, because I see Brett Rippon, where Brett Rippon can have some really good games, but then we kind of joke around, call him bad Brett Rippon, when he has like a couple picks here and there where he just kind of falls apart, where it's just like, what are you doing? But I don't know. We'll see how it goes. That's we've noticed that for the past years, and I'm still, maybe I'm bitter because of them playing Coach Harrison wanting to bring in the Kansas, who Montel Cozart, the Kansas transfer. Let him play a few carries.
Right.
I'm like, that was, we don't need to go down that road, but that was kind of an odd situation. When he's the guy, it's like he's the quarterback, but he still's had hiccups like most quarterbacks do. But if he has like a pick or doesn't play very well, it seems to kind of just not snowball, but it's hard for him to rebound a little bit from what I've seen a little bit, where interception here, bad pass, three and out. I don't know if it's something he's thinking about, but that's always something I look for. If he starts off a little poorly, it's like it could be a long day. So we'll see how that goes.
And that's talking to the Oklahoma State defenders yesterday, they discussed the idea, not specifically anything that you just addressed, but they talk about wanting to get in Brett Rypien's head, and that being one of the things that they want to do to sort of disrupt his plans and maybe not have him thinking quite as clearly all the time and kind of wondering, you know, where a blitz is coming from or where a guy is dropping into coverage, things like that.
All right, so let me if People Boise comes to town, kind of wraps up real quick. What should they do when they go to Stillwater this weekend? If they're traveling right now, what's something you say? Hey, go check this out either before the game or after, because this is a mid-afternoon kick.
Yeah, you know, there are a couple of local places that are really well known around campus. Eskimo Joe's being the most popular. A few other places in town. If you're looking for some good Mexican food when you get down to this part of the country, there's a place called El Vaquero that's a little outside, farther away from the stadium. At Eskimo Joe's, you're going to have long lines, long waits, tons of OSU fans around. You get out to El Vaquero a little farther away from the stadium, you'll be able to enjoy yourself and relax a little bit more. If there's any big wrestling fans that are coming down this way, I'm not sure how big wrestling is in Boise, but the National Wrestling Hall of Fame is right next to the football stadium and has some pretty cool stuff there. So you know, Stillwater is a unique town. It's a small town. It's you know, halfway between Oklahoma City and Tulsa, and you know, not really your big city type of place, but still plenty to do, and you know, they've got a lot of new stuff that they're doing in the stadium this year. A lot of you know, better vendors than just your typical stadium hot dog and chips type of thing. So there's good food in the stadium. They're selling beer in the stadium for the first time this year. You know, obviously the new big screen is a big topic around here. Not because it's so huge. I think it's like the eighth biggest in college football, but it's literally less than 30 yards away from the field, which makes it feel just massive. So a pretty cool in-game experience for the Boise fans who are coming down to Boone Pickens Stadium.
Should be fun. I know one guy, I think he's from Nebraska, driving down, I think, Friday, send down there to make the trip that game. So trying to maybe a little shout out for him, like, hey, listen to this, see what to do. So he's probably been planning for months.
There you go.
And what's last thing here? What's your kind of outcome for the game? How do you think it'll play out?
You know, I think that I think that the point spread tells you everything you need to know. You know, it's right at I haven't looked at it today, but it was in the 3 to 3.5 range, favoring Oklahoma State, which you know, typically in Vegas lines, that's what a home field advantage is worth. So it's this is a you know, it's a wash. This is a toss up game, in my opinion. You know, I think that Boise's physicality is going to be difficult. I think their veteran experience on defense is going to make things tough on Oklahoma State. I'm gonna pick the Cowboys because I think the home field advantage is gonna help them out. They're gonna have the striped stadium really loud and rocking, and I think that that's going to be able to get them over the edge. But I come in fully expecting to see a game that could go either way and could come down to one or two plays at the end that decides it. And I'm expecting a good one.
Yeah, me too. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see a 40-10 or some blowout. I guess if your whatever team you're going for, that's good. But it's like, I want two top 25 teams battling for to move up to maybe top 15 or somewhere in that range, a couple spots, to maybe make a case for something bigger than this one particular week. It's just, I want good football. And I think you're right. It's going to be like a one possession game between like 3 to 7 points, something extremely close. That should be
absolutely.
I just want a good one. So everyone, first off, thank you, Scott, for hopping on here. Check him out on Twitter at Scott Wright. Okay, the Oklahoman. Also, is it News OK Sports as well? The other Twitter handle. So check out all that stuff for this weekend. Any previews you have, follow on Twitter. So I did a podcast. So how do you pronounce? Isn't it's Nevada, correct? I saw that Twitter. Was there a battle over that or something?
Yes, it is. We have a guy from Nevada. Who is my partner on the OSU beat, and so we started talking about the western part of the United States, which is how that discussion came up. But yes, go check it out and listen to our podcast, and we have a lot of fun on there.
Yeah, listen to that, because when Nevada played Iowa State, there's a town I guess called Nevada, Iowa, and so there's a big deal about that a couple years ago. It's like, all right, let's get this straightened out. So yeah, go listen to that as well, and just check everything out. So hopefully we have a good game. But Scott, thanks for hopping on, and hope it's a good one this weekend.
Absolutely, thanks for having me.